Blog Talk Radio.
This is Black Noise Radio, a deep mix of music and thoughts. Please listen quietly in your heart and mind.
New single by Sean Escalfrey, Space Rider, Chorus DJ Spinna on the remix tip. Clip of the 12-inch on Oyster. Your music, Mananda Project, just before, featuring the vocals of Terrence Dax.
Just told us to talk
not a programmer. How could I ever change my software? Well, maybe you never will personally, but you and other users with the same interests as you could organize to change these programs to do the things that you, plural, want, so you can participate in collective control over the program, even if you're not a programmer, and without paying an awful lot of attention. Just a little attention would be enough if you're organized with others. And when the users control the program, first of all, they'll avoid the basic injustice. With non-free software, the program controls the users, and some company controls the program. And that's wrong immediately. So the software from Microsoft and Apple and Adobe and Amazon and many cases Google is an injustice. But it leads to more injustices, because once a company knows it has power over some people, well, power corrupts. That company is exposed to a temptation to design the program to mistreat those users. There are many kinds of malicious functionalities that we regularly see in non-free software. For instance, it spies on the users, or it's designed to stop users from doing things. This is known as DRM, Digital Restrictions Management, where they design the program specifically so that you won't be able to do the things they know you're going to want to do.
Facebook does that, right?
It may, I don't know. I've never connected to Facebook in my life, but lots of companies do. In addition, there are back doors where the company, or maybe others, can send a command to your computer to a certain program, telling it to do something to you. And what can they do to you this way? That only depends on how they wrote the program, which kinds of commands this back door will accept. In some cases, for instance, in Windows, it's a universal backdoor. Microsoft can forcibly remotely change the software. So the poor user who's using Windows, Microsoft can do anything to that person at any time. And, oh, and then there's censorship. Both Apple and Microsoft impose censorship of apps. And then there are, to the great ultimate goal, when Microsoft finds out about a security flaw in Windows, it shows this to the NSA first. Then it fixes the flaw.
Look, this is the secret relationship between these software companies and the national security state. What do you think about people voluntarily giving Facebook so much of their personal information?
They don't realize how vulnerable they are making themselves and their whole country. And they just don't know. And then when they realize it, they discover they've been caught in webs of power where people who don't subject themselves to being used by Facebook may be discriminated against or punished, which is why those of us who can resist have a duty to lead the rejection. In Stallman.org, right on the front page near the top, you'll find a list of various companies and why I think you should reject those companies, never do business with them. And Facebook is one of them, of course.
Do you think people concerned about privacy the way you are will increasingly stop using proprietary software?
I don't know. I can't see the future. What I know is that I've got to do my best to encourage them. You see, I don't have to know whether we're going to win on a certain campaign to realize it's what I have to do.
Well, the civic organization, I've relied on tips from whistleblowers for years, including ours. Tell us, how can your free software concept help whistleblowers?
Well, there are free programs that you can use to protect your privacy, more or less, such as your communications. For instance, if you browse through Tor and you block other ways that the site can determine who you are, then you can browse anonymously. I always do it that way. I will not connect to websites in any other way. And there's some sites that won't let you that way, and I just don't use them because I really don't want Big Brother to know where I am all the time.
There's no international treaty on cyber warfare. There are international treaties on nuclear arms control, chemical
weapons, cyber weapons, or something that a teenager.
You're listening to Black Noise Radio.
Where does this leave us?
Well, it leaves us wanting for better security on our computers and networks. Now, the necessary beginning to make security on a computer is free software. If the software is a hidden mystery to you, then you can't pay anybody to fix it or make sure it's secure. If it's free software, then you can pay somebody to do that. In fact, governments could organize to pay teams of people to check various free programs to make sure they're secure. They can't possibly do that with Windows or macOS or any other non-free operating system.
Over time. So what we get is Cryodynamics.
when you have a popular revolt that joined by one faction of the deep state. But amid dwindling resources, the people will revolt. And when they revolt, one faction of the deep state will side with them. Thus, you have not just a popular uprising, but you have deep state plus popular uprising. Now, when Peter Turchin did the research, he found that this pattern was true for Han, China, Egypt, Russia, England, and the Roman Empire. The civil strife, he even was able to divide that into stages, with the first stage being rebel violence. You're just angry. You're outraged. People are angry, outraged, and they give voice to that. The second stage is where a symbolic event turns the rage into action. So you can get, for example, a Maidan, which now we know was completely fabricated by the U.S. Or you can get the situation in Venezuela, where it was U.S. snipers that were doing the killing and blamed it on the Chavez government. Create this symbolic event, and that event then turns the rage into action. The third stage is a spiral of violence. That's violence after violence after violence after violence. The fourth stage then is burnout, when people are just tired of the violence. No more violence because people are tired of it. So Dr. Turchin now is predicting more violence for the U.S. But what he just spelled out sounds a lot like Operation Gladio, doesn't it? Where the CIA manufactured the violence in order to induce the spiral, blaming it on the political organizations that were on the left in order to repulse the populace. That was Operation Gladio that prevented self-determination of the people from Europe, because they were bombed into believing that their enemies were their own children who were fighting against war, empire, stupid consumption, and racism. Now, as I said all along, what I witnessed while I was in the Congress was that there were two factions of the deep state, and those two factions were fighting for control and dominion over the apparatus of the entire state of the United States. After all, the U.S. has assets that not only could be plundered for wealth beyond belief, as was done to Russia already after the fall of the Soviet Union, I will add parenthetically, but also that could ensure global dominion for generations to come in terms of U.S. military powers and capabilities, especially in research and weapons design. Now, also from my own observations from being inside that deep state and watching who was calling what shots, it became clear to me that there were two deep states, not just one. So I came along during the time that the split was forming. I witnessed it at the DNC, at the RNC, and eventually became targeted by certain portions of both factions. The second new faction had gained almost total control of the state governing apparatus, while the other faction, the older one that I would call, say, we should call this the Pilgrims, had actually acquiesced for a while in the rise of the new action. Then I kind of, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, say to the people that had been personally held by me along with the few who understood what was going on. Now, 12 years later, President Trump admits that we have a human trafficking problem right here in the U.S. That's a victory, but it's a bittersweet one for me because I said it in 2005.
You're listening to Black Noise Radio. Special dedication. Rest in peace, Mother Josephine Williams, my grandmother.
Ooh,